I had prepared a sermon for today that I'll probably carry over to the first Sunday of the new year. But oftentimes when preparing for sermons and you have it all ready and you feel prepared to do that, and then you have just this moment of what I call divine interruption, when God speaks to your heart and you change what you had planned on doing and do what you believe that the Holy Spirit is leading you to do. This morning, I want to speak for a few moments on the greatest gift of all, the greatest gift of all, and then I want to close it with an illustration that happened to me this week that brought confirmation to my heart. And, you know, there's just that the Bible speaks of being still and know that I am God. And so oftentimes in our lives, we are so fast-paced and running up and down the roads of life, the busy lanes of life, oftentimes going nowhere, and yet it's during those moments that that still small voice brings our attention, arrests our attention to something that is such an incredible thing that you know that is the Holy Spirit that is moving and speaking. I want to talk for just a few moments on the greatest gift of all. In a few days, many of this congregation as well as people all over the world will be meeting, gathering with family and friends, celebrating Christmas time, exchanging gifts, doing various things, enjoying the joy of the moment. But you know, the greatest gift of all is not the gift that is under the Christmas tree, but it's the gift who hung on a tree some 2,000 years ago, when God himself stepped out of heaven's glory and robed himself in human flesh to come to this world as a baby, born in Bethlehem of Judea. And some 2,000 years ago, as the world was waiting and watching and looking, and some still today are looking for the Messiah from 2,000 years ago, and they missed the gift that came. And we sing about the Christ of Christmas. We sing songs, love came down at Christmas. God loved this world so much that he was willing to come and rectify the sins of man, to be reconciled to a holy God, that you and I might have everlasting life, that we might have an opportunity, a chance to someday live eternally in heaven with him. Out of the book of Isaiah, Isaiah prophesied hundreds of years ago in Isaiah chapter 9, in verse 6 and 7, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." In verse number 6 there, his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. I want you to look at those words there, what they actually mean to us. This morning as I was driving to the church, long before the sun had risen, it was just peeking over the horizon out there. There was a crescent moon up in the sky. It was so still and calm and peaceful and incredible. And as I got out of my car out here on the parking lot, I just paused for a moment to look into the beautiful eastern beginning sunrise, and I thought about his name is wonderful. Wonderful, the name of Jesus. You see, there is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus said, I'm the way. If you want to go to heaven, I'm the way. Let me tell you, all of those religions of the world that have boasted of their God, all of those have died. They have been buried for hundreds of years. None of them have ever claimed a resurrection, but I want you to know there's more historical evidence of the Jesus that we sing about during the Christmas Advent time as we sing of the Christ of Christmas. I want you to know he is alive this morning. He came some 2,000 years ago into a stable in Bethlehem as a baby. God himself robed in human flesh to dwell among us. He would be the one who created God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, created the tree on which Christ would die and shed his blood to cover our sins, so that, as the Bible says, that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. His name is wonderful. Notice Counselor. I don't know about you, but I'm grateful this morning that I have a Father in heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, when he finished his work here on this earth, went back to heaven 40 days after the resurrection, and he sat down at the right hand of the Father. And the Bible says he ever lives to make intercession for the saints. He prays for you and me when we don't even know how to pray ourselves. He is a wonderful counselor. He speaks to us through the third person of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit. Notice Isaiah said, Mighty God. He is the God of omnipotence. He is the all-powerful God. And when you and I cannot trace his hands in the many circumstances of our lives, when we in our human minds cannot understand the divine God because his ways are higher than our ways, his thoughts are beyond our thoughts. And whenever you and I cannot understand or trace his hand through many of the various difficulties that we're experiencing in life, we can trust the heart of God to know and to realize that he is working out all things for his eternal elective purposes. He is, as Isaiah said, Mighty God. But notice he's also the Everlasting Father. The word everlasting to you and me, and even though we understand in the context of the passage, we understand the word everlasting means forever and ever and ever and ever without end. And yet, even in our own finite human minds, we really cannot even begin to conceive the depth, to plumb the depth of eternity and the everlasting Father that we sing about at Christmas time. Notice the phrase Isaiah said, Prince of Peace. The world this morning has little peace. There's trouble all over the world today, but I want you to know Jesus Christ, the eternal one, the self-existing one. From the beginning of time, he is the Prince of Peace. Let me tell you, whenever our hearts are troubled, that's why Jesus would say, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. You see, in John chapter 3 and verse 16, God looked down from heaven upon a world that was broken. He created a perfect world. He created a great paradise, a great garden for Adam and Eve to have all of everything they would ever need in life. It was a perfect world. But it wasn't long before Satan, the usurper, came and began to deceive mankind. And of course, through Adam and Eve, sin fell into the world, and the world was cursed, and the world is a fallen world. It's a broken world that you and I live in this morning. The only peace that you and I have is what he said, "My peace I give to you, not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." That's why God looked down upon this fallen, broken world of ours. And in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he had created a perfect world, but it was now a broken world. And for you and me to be able to be reconciled to a holy God, someone had to come. Someone had to be our kinsman redeemer to redeem us of our sins. And God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." What a great promise that is. What a great hope that is that you and I have this morning. Let me tell you, when I think about the greatest gift of all is when Christ came. He gave the gift of salvation to anyone who would call upon his name. Unfortunately, in a world filled with 8 billion people this morning, 2/3 of this world will never accept this wonderful gift of grace that God offers to those that would call upon his name. He came, he died, he shed his blood to cover our sins. He arose over death, hell, and the grave. He ascended back to heaven. And the Bible tells us he's coming again one of these days. Let me tell you, in the book of Luke, chapter 6:38, we read these words, "Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom." Let me tell you, the Christ of Christmas is the giver. He is the gift giver. It's all about grace. It's all about grace. I've done 4 funerals this past week. And let me tell you what, it's not how good you and I have ever been. It's not what we've ever done in our life that's been wrong. It's all about grace, God's gift. He gave the perfect gift, the gift of salvation through his shed blood. I'm grateful, as someone said to me this week, they said, I'm not worthy of him. And my response to that was, I don't know any human being that's ever been worthy. It's not about worthiness. It's all about grace, God's free gift to those who call and ask for his free gift. You cannot buy it. You cannot work for it. You cannot earn it. He just holds out the gift of eternal life and wants us to come and accept it and receive it. Luke 6:38, Luke tells us, give. Jesus gave his all to him. We owe sin had left a crimson stain, but he washed it white as snow. In John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, John recorded the words, "In the beginning was the Word," that's speaking of God, "and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Notice verse number 2. "He was in the beginning with God." There never was a time that Jesus was not. There never was a time that the Holy Spirit was not. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are recorded in the book of Genesis in the very beginning. Let us, the plurality of the word us, is speaking of the Godhead, one God, but he works in 3 different ways. Creator, Redeemer, and the Holy Spirit. When he went back to heaven, he said, I will send you a comforter. It's the Holy Spirit that lives in our heart. God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit lives within us. He was in the beginning with God. Notice verse 3, all things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. Verse number 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Jesus, the Christ that we sing about at Christmas, Jesus, who is the light of this dark world that you and I live in today, the greatest gift of all was the gift that he gave when he came as a baby, dwelt on the earth for 33 years, and spent the last 3 years of his life ministering, giving, sharing, doing, loving, receiving. And to me, that's what Christmas is all about. I want to close with something that happened to me on Friday of this week. I was in Oklahoma City. I was going to Mardell's to pick up some books that I wanted of Max Lucado's. I did not go to Mardell's to begin with. I did all of the other things that I had to do. And it was toward evening, the latter part of the evening, when I went to Mardell's. It was not by chance that I happened to be there at the time I was there. But I walked into the store and I began to thumb through some books and look through some books, and I had a book in my hand. An elderly man walked in. I assumed that he thought that I worked there. And so he looked at me and he said, I'm looking for a book by David Jeremiah. He said, I love David Jeremiah. I love to listen to him. He's so simplistic in what he has to say. And I want one of these books. And I said, oh, I can help you. I've been in this store a million times. I know right where they are. In fact, I've got all of his books. So I walked him back to that section of Bible prophecy. And the man began to share with me. He began to cry. He began to share with me. He said, I have one son, only one son. He said, my son has now taken every single thing that I own, everything that I have, he has taken from me, and he has left me with absolutely nothing. Tommy and Lenore Saville just happened to be around the corner, and they were there for the VA final there at SNU on Friday night. Lenora heard my voice. She walked around and said, Randy, is that you? And I said, yes. And she saw me engaged in this conversation with this man. And she just said to the man, this is the go-to guy. And she turned and she walked away. I reached over and I picked up David Jeremiah's latest book on the rapture of the church. And I said, this is his latest book right here. And the man looked at it. He clutched it to his chest. He looked on the back of it to see the label of how much the book cost. And I said, here's all of his books right here. And he began to weep as he told me that story. He said, I can probably only buy this one book. I hope to be able someday to get to buy those, but because my son has left me with nothing, he said, I've been living in a motel that nobody would want to live in. I reached over and I said, he cried and I wanted to. I gathered up every book of David Jeremiah's that was on the shelf. And I said, these are yours. He began to weep. We went to the front to pay for the books, and the store manager, who knew me because I've been in there so many times, and the man said to me, who are you? And I said, I'm a minister. I live out of town. And he said, where are you a minister? And I told him, and the store manager was so overcome by the situation and what was taking place that he said, Randy, here's a piece of paper. Please write down the address of your church, the name of your church. And I did. I handed it to him. I took the bill. He took the books. He started out the door. I turned to finish what I was doing. He came back in. He hugged me. He cried again. He turned and he walked away, and those people were discussing and talking about the situation there, the scene that was there. And all of a sudden, in a still small voice, not an audible voice, but the voice that the Bible says, that still small voice, be still and know that I'm God. That voice spoke to my heart and said, here's your Sunday illustration. This is the confirmation of what you are supposed to do Sunday morning, to speak on the greatest gift of all, the Christ of Christmas. And with that, I laid my sermon aside because I knew the Holy Spirit knew best. Sometimes we get so caught up in the busyness of the season that we fail to hear the voice, the inner voice of the Holy Spirit. That's why I asked Steve and Craig and Brett to sing that song a few moments ago, Lord, to be used of you. Lord, to be used of you. I don't mind to tell you, I'm not a crybaby, but all the way home, the tears that flooded my face. Because just the week before that, another lady had said to me about a particular individual who was no longer able to live in their home, that an only daughter had put that person away and had not been to see her for nearly 3 months. I thought to myself, Christmas can be one of the most wonderful times of the year. It brings joy and happiness. But there is a club out there that it brings sadness to their hearts. When that man hugged me, crying, and walked out the door with some 8 or 10 of David Jeremiah's books, I said, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that I listened to your voice today and not to the fast pace that I was on a mission for on that particular day. May I say to you this morning, keep the giver of Christmas in Christmas, for he truly is the only reason for the season. Would you stand as we pray together? Father God, as we come today to this time of invitation, if there's someone here that just needs to come and pray about someone or something, maybe there's someone here that wants to come and give their heart and life to Christ. Thank you for the three that we baptized on Wednesday night. Thank you, Lord, for sending them this way. Father, maybe there's someone here that needs a church home. Speak to their heart, Holy Spirit, I pray. Father, may we remember what this season is really about. It isn't about us. It's about you. Father, help us to realize the most important thing in all of life is not a gift, but the gift. The gift of grace, the gift of salvation, the gift of eternal life. Holy Spirit, this invitation belongs to you. Speak to hearts wherever they may be today, that they might be drawn to you. For it's in your name we pray.